Hi. That's my favorite way to introduce anything. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. Naz is with me. Naz, hello.
Emotional labor returns.
Are you kidding me again?
I wanted How to say that right happening? At the top. Right at the top.
Why does this keep happening? Well, I'm going into emotional labor pains, I'll tell you what.
It's because it's a big topic and you guys don't get it. That's why.
I'm going to tell you, it probably wasn't until our third emotional labor episode that I started to understand what it actually is.
No, you know what? I don't know if I should say this. I feel like you had quite a good understanding of what emotional labor was until you interviewed someone about it. And sometimes this happens in life when you kind of get something and then you think about it too much and then you stop getting it, because I feel like after that interview... You, like, suddenly didn't get it anymore.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I thought I was doing great over here. Do I not get it?
No, you were until the interview. I think it messed things up. But anyway, let's quickly get into it. This is The Gender Not. I am Naz.
I'm Dan. Hi. Housekeeping? Question mark?
Yeah, let's do that. So we are going to be back with a proper season in October. And we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about apologies. We've got a really good guest who's going to join us. So do send us thoughts, comments, experiences about apologies. If you've given apologies or if you've accepted them, if you haven't accepted an apology, I'm keen on hearing. So yeah, just some experiences.
If you haven't given one.
And you feel like you should?
Or people tell you you should, but you're... you demand that you don't.
Yeah, I think I'm just really interested in experiences rather than people's opinions about apologies.
Yeah.
So if you've got any experiences, send those to us soon-ish, because we've got a really good guest who is going to join us on that topic. Also, you've been busy interviewing a bunch of people, man.
I'm interviewing so many people. I'm talking to Liz Plank. She's very popular. She wrote a book called For the Love of Men. Mm-hmm. I just spoke with a few people recently. I talked to a woman who interviewed her rapist.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore, man.
Yeah, that's gonna be a really interesting episode. That was a tough one. That's an interesting topic. But she was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. We got a lot of stuff.
Cool. Awesome. So. What housekeeping do we have? Oh, yeah. Subscribe to the show. Share the show. Write to us. Share the show.
Tell everyone.
To everyone. Tell everyone.
Get a megaphone. I want people out in the streets with signs. I saw people today that's had signs that said, pray for an end to abortion. I want you to go out there and make signs that say, listen to the gender knot.
Yeah, I guess.
And stand above a bridge or whatever, you know?
So share the show, write to us. It is thegendernot@gmail.com. Speaking of writing to us, that is what this episode is about. I was keen for us to talk about an email we received. By the way, when you send us emails, we read everything. We try to respond. We can't always do that, but we try to respond. But anyway, we
Naz
got an email.
Speaking in the royal we, because she reads everything.
Ooh.
Ooh. I don't read nothing.
Yeah, you do. You sometimes reply to things.
Unless
you're trying
you
to do
it, unless you forward it to my direct inbox and go,
no,
you should respond
you
to
some,
this one.
You sometimes respond to things. You're trying to do that. I'm Dan Carroll. I'm so chill. I don't make an effort kind of BS. Nah, dude. Right.
I will
let you all know.
Everyone who's ever gotten a response from this show knows.
I will let you know. Dan edits most of these, so he's all like, yeah, I'm like, chill.
Oh, I don't pretend to not be involved in the show. I'm just saying that you were man the inbox.
Okay, cool. Well, wait. Anyway, I want to read an email we got from Imeric, who is in Singapore, says he is originally from France, and I like to know a little bit about people's backgrounds, because it gives a bit of good context where they're coming from. So I asked him a bit about himself. He said, I don't identify with a particular ethnicity, but I guess people would call me white. Okay, so Imeric sent us a really interesting email, and I'm going to read a bit of it. It was about our emotional labor episode, which keeps triggering people. He said the following. He said to us that, I identify as a man, even though on many topics I'm often on the side of the wait, this is happening to me, and my girlfriend or boss or female friend is the one doing what is considered man's behavior. But I also think, and that is my personal opinion, that if people focus less about identifying with a gender and more about correcting bad behaviours, it would make things easier. But I know that's just wishful thinking. Okay, so this was a very interesting email. Thanks for writing to us. This is something that happens a lot with, and I really don't want to sound like I'm laying into Imeric, because I think a lot of people do this. I think often when someone is in the more privileged group, they can't see that a problem might pertain to a certain group more. So in this case, emotional labor is definitely something that women tend to do more than men. And there are so many examples of that. And I think just because there might be certain men who do emotional labor doesn't mean that it's not a gendered problem. I think we have to be really careful with a lot of these issues not to personalize things. I mean, I'll speak for myself. There are a lot of things many women experience that might be a bit foreign to me, because I've generally been pretty aloof, and being non-aloof is quite a new thing for me. But that doesn't mean that there aren't certain...
Yeah, you're punk as fuck is what you mean to say.
That's not what I mean to say. I mean that I used to be not good with my emotions is what I'm trying to say.
AKA punk as fuck. Go on.
That's what I'm trying to say. But I mean that it doesn't mean that certain problems aren't gendered just because maybe I, as a particular woman, have not experienced them as much.
Right.
And I think what Imeric is saying here happens a lot, where women talk about a problem and then men are like, well, that happens to men too. And it's like, it doesn't stop it from being a gendered problem just because it might happen to some men.
Well, they don't usually say that happens to men too. They usually say that happened to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it does happen in terms of, and I don't know if we should go into examples because it feels dicey.
Yeah, I mean, well, anything that we could throw out would, I mean, anybody I could feel argue some- a personal experience anyway. And that's like what you just said, which is, and I agree. Here's the thing. I agree. This is a tough thing for me, because when we first started talking about a lot of the topics that we talk about, I was one of the guys that was like, hey, let's just call it a clean slate and start fresh. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think you've ever done that.
I did, and you yelled at me. I don't know if we were on tape, but it was when I think I wasn't actually on the show yet, and so I think I have a clean track record as a cast member on the show. But before that, we were having a conversation one time, and I was like, I mean, why don't we all just start at zero? And you were like, that's not how this works.
Right.
And so I get feeling that way. Like, I totally get it, because as you said, as a member of the privileged side, it's hard to see that a problem exists on a larger scale than just what I am, you know, what I have felt or experienced. And I think that you just said it, which is, we need to stop personalizing other people's experiences. I need to stop making everything so goddamn individual and about me. Spock said it best: the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or in this case, the one. And then he died, and it was the saddest scene in the history of cinema.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Oh,
check
God.
It out sometime. I just spoiled the end.
But wait, there's a reason why this is important, because I feel like, okay, let's go to emotional labor, which is definitely something women do a lot of, even if there are men who do emotional labor as well. By saying that, what Imeric said was that if we focus, he said, quote, if people focus less about identifying with a gender and more about correcting bad behaviors, it would make things easier, end quote. Actually, that doesn't deal with the problem. Let's just stay on emotional labor. Emotional labor, women are expected to do a lot of things in relationships, in the workplace, in families, and that is very much tied into how girls and boys are raised. And so by not looking at it as a gendered problem, we can't actually deal with it. And it becomes an individual thing. So actually, if a problem is gendered, we have to recognize it's gendered or we can't deal with it. So right. Saying that let's all individually stop correcting bad behaviors, there is not the same penalty on a man if he doesn't do emotional labor as there is on a woman. Mm. Women are expected to do emotional labor. If they don't, there are a lot of consequences. They lose their relationships. They're labeled bitches. They're not trusted. Whereas like a lot of men don't do that stuff, and it's absolutely fine because there isn't that expectation on them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, which is why we can't just start at zero. You know what I mean? We can't.
Well, which is why we can't just say we're all individuals. Also, like, this is, I don't want to lay into this person. This, and I don't know this person's sexuality, actually, but this is a typical
yes,
straight...
He identified as male and said he had a girlfriend.
Continue. Yeah, but he might also date men. We don't know.
Sure, okay, I suppose. We don't know the full scope of his sexuality.
Okay, look, we don't know. We don't know, basically. My point being that this is something that a lot of straight white guys do, where they're like, we're all individuals. And it's like, no, as a straight white guy, you are an individual. Pretty much no one else is treated as an individual. And I think that in itself is the problem.
Yeah, which is weird because straight white guys are probably the most easy to like generalize.
No, but I mean in terms of generally when a straight white guy does something, it is more likely to be seen as the behavior of an individual rather than all people of X group act this way.
Right. Well, I don't know. But I mean, as a straight white guy, I definitely see a lot of straight white guy bullshit that I go, but what a straight white guy move. But see, this is just me individualizing a thing. Do you know what I mean? This is me going, well, not me. I do that. So, but here's the thing, you know, as a straight white guy, and I think I'm hard pressed to think of another straight white guy, myself included, who does not have a hero complex. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all grow up as white boys in this country, the way that we're raised. I don't know about your country, but we all just, like, want to be Rambo. Do you know what I mean? We all just want to be running through a jungle with a machine gun and a knife in our teeth, sticking it to the man and saving people, or whatever Rambo does. And this sort of thing, the stuff that we're working on right now, is an opportunity. This is an actual real-life present tense opportunity to be a hero, and all we have to do is take the punch. Do you know what I mean? Like, all we have to do as the straight guy in a situation is go, yeah, let me listen for a second, let me not make this about me, let me not tell you how I also emotionally am labored at times. You know what I mean? Let me not complain that I also have had an issue with that thing. Let me just step back out of the light for one fucking second. And you know what, dude? You're a hero now. You just saved the day. You just did it. And like, it kind of drives me crazy right now because, like, we're in America. I am anyway. And like, the most American dude of all time, and also probably the whitest dude of all time, he wore a powdered wig and had wooden teeth, George Washington. Everybody's favorite. I don't know how you think of him over there, but he's the most American person that's ever been American. Our first president. He was a general and a hero in the American Revolution. Sorry, Naz. And you know what he did? He created term laws on his own presidency. He said, enough of me. You know what I mean? Mm. And that's like the coolest thing anyone could ever do is go, you know what? Enough of me.
Hmm. That's cool.
And like, if guys want to be cool, just say enough of me and step
back. Was he new in doing that in terms of, I don't know, leaders at the time?
I don't know that anyone ever did. I mean, our whole thing was we rebelled against the king, right? And kings certainly did not resign. You know what I mean? And so it was for sure new to our form of government. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know that anyone ever had a term law before George Washington. I don't know. Maybe, but
I'm wondering if popes, though, actually, now we're going a bit off topic.
Popes
I'm
die.
Going a bit. No, I know, but I'm going a bit off topic. Actually, let's not go off topic. I was going to say something about the history of popes that's really unrelated to this.
Ooh,
but
I
yeah,
love
no, I
papal history.
Papal history, but I do think this is an interesting point Dan just made. Like, yeah, not like sometimes the best thing you can do to be an ally is to not make everything about you and to just step back and actually try and listen to someone's experience. But yeah, I'm just going to conclude with the fact that trying to say that problem isn't gendered means that we can't actually look at the problem and deal with it. Because if a problem is gendered, doesn't mean that all women and all men fit into whatever paradigm there is, you know? There will be people outside of that. That doesn't mean that it's still not a gendered problem.
Yeah, 100%. We have so many people who you know, are born with certain sex parts and do not identify with those genders. And that's all, you know, to say that, like, not everybody fits into the specific fucking box that they're born into, but that doesn't mean that a thing isn't overall you know, we live in a binary system, and that's not something that I was born to decide. I didn't choose to be a white guy, but here I am benefiting from it. So the least I can do is shut up once in a while.
Should we wrap up?
Hell yeah. So my George Washington thing. I was really happy.
It was good. I don't know why the other day I was thinking of Mount Rushmore. I must have seen something about Mount Rushmore, and I was like, this is like the most ridiculously American concept ever.
Hell yeah, dude.
Who thought of that? Like, I think the guy who chiseled the faces was Danish, actually, or like a Danish immigrant, but I feel like that is such an American thing to be like, yeah, I'm gonna blast the president's faces into a mountain. Like, who on earth thought of that? It's just like insane.
Gutzon Borglum,
tell me about him.
Historian Doan Robinson conceived the idea for Mount Rushmore in 1923 to promote tourism in South Dakota. In 1924, Robinson persuaded sculptor Gutzon Borglum to travel to the Black Hills region to ensure the carving could be accomplished. So, Doan, which sounds like is that a German name?
Didn't I?
And then Gutzon Borglum did the carving.
Okay, yeah. So we're gonna be
the
back.
The only thing more American would be to drive a truck up it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We're going to be back in October. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan. I'm really glad you were here. Behind the scenes, we got a couple of co-producers. Let's not forget them. Jonathan Blackwell and Sam Baker. Couldn't do it without you.
Okay, write to us, especially about apologies, and we will be back soon.
Okay, bye. I miss you already. See ya.